Good morning. I hope you've been blessed thus far by the worship, and it's pretty cool that we get to enjoy worship the way we do today. And it just kind of seems short because it was a little shorter. We cut a song out, and I get a lot more time to preach now, right? Is that the purpose of that? No, it was. Oh, I could have prepared more. No, it's good to be back in the pulpit, and as much as it was like, oh, I could breathe and focus on getting some things accomplished that I haven't been able to get accomplished by allowing Shane to preach and give him the experience that he's needing to gather. It also gave me opportunity to get away and to simply pray and prepare and seek the Lord's vision for Cornerstone Church. We're coming up on 4 years, and what is the Lord going to have in store for us? And I took 3 days last week, and I hid out of my parents have a guest home, and I hid out in that house for 3 days and ate cereal and prayed and studied, and it was good. The Lord, I was able to get away from, I want to say get away from you or my family, but some distractions that keep me from being able to focus really and think about and pray and meditate on what the Lord wants. And what you're going to find today is this is the first thing that the Lord laid on my heart for the vision for Cornerstone Church over the next year or so, in a way, the direction that He wants us to go. And this is the first of two messages entitled Befriending Faithfulness. And so I want you to really grab a hold of what the Lord has for us, because I truly believe this was not just for my benefit to find what He has for us within the Scriptures, but it's for your benefit as well, to help you in your walk with Christ and to encourage you that you can find the hope and the resolve that you need to carry on in the faith that you've been entrusted with. And so today, as we begin this first message, I want you to know that this is the first message that's going to take us all the way to Resurrection Sunday, April 16th of 2017. I have several series lined up and sermons, and the Lord is taking us somewhere. And so I'm going to put the challenge before you now, and I'm going to re-challenge you in the end. I want you to be faithful to be here, to hear what the Lord has for you. Can you do that for me? You may be more encouraged to be faithful by the time we finish this message. But Psalm 37, one quick verse to get things started, not a huge passage like I normally do, but Psalm 37:3, if you have a Bible with you, you can underline this. You can write it on the back of your bulletin where it says sermon notes. If you have an electronic device, you can highlight it yellow, pink, purple, or whatever color will stick out to you the next time you get to Psalm 37. And you'll see verse 3. And that it will radiate in your mind this important truth that we're going to be looking into today. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Father, we are definitely a people in need, and we bow our heads in dependence upon You, dependent upon Your sovereign control and help in our lives, dependent upon everything that gives life. You know our future. You know what You have for us. So I pray, God, that we will be willfully yield ourselves to that plan and be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 37:3, befriend faithfulness. As I was praying and thinking about this, that word continued to just bring itself out in the Scriptures. It was everywhere I turned and everywhere I looked, that word faithfulness. And as I quoted to you from Revelation 17 last week during the prayer time about who God's people are, they're called faithful. They're not called faithful by accident, but faithfulness should be part of our DNA. So what is this faithfulness, and why should we befriend it? What is this faithfulness? And both in the Hebrew and the Greek, these are the two most popular words used. You have pistos in the Greek, what they use for faithfulness, and in the Hebrew, amen. And amen we use typically as a response to something we agree with, and it's faithful, and it's true, and I agree. But let me kind of give you a tangible definition of what we're talking about, just to kind of get us all on the same page here. When we say the word faithfulness, what are we talking about? This is a call to moral conviction and persistence in fulfilling what you already believe to be true, what we find in the Scriptures. To be faithful is to trust or to be true in your belief and remain steadfast in obedience. Faithfulness is not a passive word, but one that demands an unwavering resolve, and it demands sacrifice. Remember that. Faithfulness will always demand a sacrifice somewhere. If you have been faithful in anything in your life, you know in order for you to obtain that title of faithfulness, you have had to have sacrificed something along the way to be able to attain that. Our Lord Himself in Philippians 2:8, in being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross. Our Lord Jesus modeled faithfulness before us and has called us to the very same thing. If we are Christians, the very part of being Christian is to be faithful to the call in which God has given us. Faithfulness should be a guiding principle or expression of our faith. Faithfulness should be our motto. And you'll understand why when we get to the end of the message here, and when you hear the numerous amounts of Scripture that pertain to this very one word, pistos, or amen. How many of you are alive in 1983? There'd probably be less hands go up than stay down. How many of you were not alive in 83? There's a bunch of you. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Well, I was around then. I've been around for a few years. And I don't know if you remember or not, those of you who were around, I do remember, even at 8 years of age in 83, I remember this very tragic event. And probably one of the most tragic events during the Reagan presidency. It was Sunday morning, October 3rd, 1983. How many of you already know what I'm going to say? October 3rd. 1983, a terrorist bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, in Lebanon, in which hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept. Many can still recall these terrible scenes and the dazed survivors working to dig out their trapped brothers from beneath the rubble. I believe we partnered in this barracks with the French soldiers, if my history doesn't fail me. And I think there was some 220 Marines killed. Some 20-some French soldiers killed. And there were others killed as well, and hundreds wounded as a result of these two terrorists who drove these trucks in that had these huge bombs. Terrible day. A few days after the tragedy, an extraordinary story surfaced. Marine Corps Commandant Paul X. Kelly. We have a Paul Kelly here. There he is. Paul X. Kelly, a Marine Corps Commandant, he visited some of the wounded survivors then in a Frankfurt, Germany hospital. Among them was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton. Severely wounded in the incident, Nashton had so many tubes running in and out of his body that witnesses said he looked more like a machine than a man, and yet he survived. As Kelly neared him, Nashton struggled to move, and racked with pain, he motioned for a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote on a brief note, and he passed it back to the commandant, and on the slip of paper were but two words. As a Marine, do you know what they are? Semper Fi. This is an abbreviated Latin motto, term or motto of the Marines, meaning forever faithful. With those two simple words, Nashton spoke for the millions of Americans who have sacrificed body and limb and their lives for their country. That Latin term, Semper Fidelis, abbreviated by the Marines as their motto, simply, forever faithful. And there is not another group of soldiers like the Marines, is there? If you mention the Marines, you know that they stand ahead above other soldiers in their dedication and their commitment and their faithfulness to go into death without fear. It's an amazing group of soldiers, and a lot of it contributes to that very attitude that they exhibit in that they stay faithful forever as a Marine. So regardless, you and I can agree, really, regardless of anyone's devotion, and we tend to respect those who are truly faithful to their cause or truly faithful to what they believe, don't we? Even if it differs from ours. People with that kind of resolve who are steadfast and want to remain faithful to the end, to their cause, are respected because they've sacrificed to get there. And in reality, there are few who are willing to be faithful to the end for their cause. Now this faithfulness, when it comes to theologically, to those of the believer, really is a part of the Christian DNA. Did you realize that? In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. God has said, when you produce fruit, this is what it's going to look like. When the Spirit resides, this is what's going to take place. These nine fruits will exhibit themselves. In fact, one of the most powerful draws of agape love, unconditional love, is that it is always faithful, right? Love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love is always faithful, whether it be within a marriage, within a friendship, within a commitment to a company, or whatever you may be involved in or have committed yourself to, that if agape love is involved, there's security and there is hope surrounding that. And that very same term, pistos, in the Greek, faithfulness, should reside within the Spirit-filled believer of Jesus Christ. It's all over the Scriptures. Acts 11:23. When he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Acts 16:15. And after she was baptized and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it's required of stewards that they should be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:17, just a little bit further down. That is why I sent to you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:2, something very similar, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Colossians 1:7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Colossians 4:7. We'll tell you about my activities. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. Colossians 4:9, he continues on with Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. And 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me to be faithful. 2 Timothy 2:2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to who? Faithful men who will be able to teach others. This term faithfulness within the idea of or within the life of a believer should be ingrained in our DNA. It should be something we strive to become and to be known for, always being faithful as followers of Christ. Unfortunately, like there's nothing new under the sun, faithfulness is yet again becoming a thing of the past. You often hear old-timers or men who are more mature and women who are talking about, well, we are seeing less and less of our children and our young adults. We're seeing less and less faithfulness out of them. And that's nothing new. Psalms 12:1, save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Proverbs 26, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? It seems there's nothing new, that this cycle of God raising up faithful and godly men peaks and then continues to bottom out time and time again to where it's like, well, who is really found faithful anymore? Of course, God always preserves faithfulness. With the presence of the Spirit and the life of genuine believers, it would be impossible for faithfulness to go extinct. For the faith that we hold so dear will prevail. I believe it only needs to be reminded, and we need to rally around this idea that we are to be faithful. We are called to faithfulness. We are convicted and cut to the heart when we are not faithful. You know, as a pastor, when I don't see someone here for a period of time, I get a little concerned and I'll check on them because I want to make sure things are going well. We send out We Miss You cards letting them know. I just ran into somebody at the football game, you know, that we hadn't seen in a while. And it's like, oh, it's so good to see you. We've missed you. And you know, and people typically will do what? I know, I should be there more often. And it's almost like this, well, no, don't. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I just want you to know I care about you. But I think ingrained within any and every believer is that when we are not faithful to the things that God has called us to be faithful to, what happens? We're cut to the heart because God has called us to be faithful. We are labeled as faithful if we are His. One of the greatest hindrances to faithfulness is the fading of the eternal perspective from the hearts and the minds of God's people. We always live in the now. If we focus on our Lord's returning soon or the reality of being called home soon, I believe we'll be motivated to become more faithful. As I visit with older people who recognize and realize that they're no longer in their prime and that it won't be long until the Lord calls them home, one of the resounding things in their life that it speaks above the all is they want to finish well. They want to be faithful to the end. I haven't been faithful, and I know I should be faithful, and so they want to be faithful. They want to fight the good fight and finish well before the Lord calls them home. Have you known anyone like that? Many have come to me and said the same thing. I need to finish well. I need to do better than I've ever done because I know my days are numbered and limited between here and there. And I think if we all, just like those of us who are getting older, we think about eternity more and more, I think we all should be turning our minds to that very fact that eternity is not very far away for any of us, regardless of age. In Cornerstone's second year, third year, we buried three people in their 40s. What a hard year. Reminding us that this time that we have is brief and should be used wisely. In fact, our Lord Himself reminded us time and time again, if you spend any time in the Gospels, you'll be reminded of this fact. If we look at Matthew 24:42-43, just jot these down. I want you to refer to them later, okay? I'm just going to briefly mention to you and read parts of this here. Jesus said, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But know this, that if a master of his house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. How often in our faith we get complacent and we go to sleep, per se. And In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones did what? They slept and let their oil run out. The wise ones stayed awake and alert and were faithful to keep oil in the lamp. Right? These are warnings from our Lord that we need to stay the course and remain faithful to the cause, to not get complacent and be grumbling and sitting back and complaining about stuff. Instead, we need to be faithful to be going forth and doing what He asks us to do. Mark 13, 33 through 37, be on your guard, keep awake, for you don't know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. Stay awake. Remain faithful. Luke 12, 35 to 38 continues with this reminder, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. There's a lot of urgency. If you look at the Scriptures and you read them, we're never to just be sitting back and waiting, are we? We're to be waiting while in action because He can return at any moment. I'll end with Romans 13:11. I have this Scripture on the screen for you. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we first believed. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Sherlock Holmes. You familiar with those books? He had a good buddy. What was his name? Dr. Watson, right? Well, they went on a camping trip and they set up their tent and they fell asleep. And some hours later, Holmes wakes up. And his faithful friend, Watson. Look up at the sky and tell me what you see. Watson replies, I see millions of stars. Wish I had a British accent. It'd be a lot cooler if I stayed this way. What does that tell you? Asks Holmes. Watson ponders for a minute. Well, astronomically speaking, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Never heard this term before, but horologically, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically, it's evident that the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it seems that we'll have a beautiful day tomorrow. Then after a pause, Watson says, well, Holmes, what does it tell you? Holmes is silent for a moment and then he speaks, Watson, you imbecile, can't you see that someone has stolen our tent? We laugh, and yet we tend to do the same thing in our faith. We look at the big picture, so we think we are, and we think we're pretty sharp and wise, and we study theology, and we learn all the terms, and we learn all the intricacies of salvation, and we talk about it amongst each other, but we ignore some of the weightier things, more obvious things that are around us and in our faith. And two of the most obvious things when it comes to faithfulness are these, that we are to be faithful to remain humble. Let's not ignore that. Let's not educate ourselves so well theologically and biblically that we are prideful. For knowledge does what? Puffs up. But what does love do? It builds up. We need to focus on humility. We need to fight pride at all costs, for it is an obvious evil that's present in every one of us. Who dares to stand up and say, no, I'm humble. I dare you. We need to fight pride. We need to live a life of repentance. Love the Lord with all you His saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. That's one of the obvious things that we should be looking at. Examine my heart, O God, should be your prayer every morning. Help me to walk humbly before you and for men. Always be thinking of others more highly than yourself, the Scripture tells us. We need to find out what pleases God, and we need to seek forgiveness for where we have failed Him and where we fall short. If you are searching the Scriptures for what pleases God, let me tell you something. You will find several places where you fall short. Humble, to be humble. It's lost, it seems, in a lot of ways. For pride likes to sneak its little head up and disguise itself. Unless true humility is found, we'll really won't be able to achieve the obvious second, which is to be faithful to obey. Be faithful to obey. Psalm 119:30, I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. This is love for me, Jesus says, that you obey my commands. Are you quick and faithful to obey the commands of God? It's interesting. People will come to me and they'll need help for something, and I'll show them in the Scripture, well, this is what God asks of you. This is how He wants to help you. And what will they tell me? Well, I tried that. You ever said that? Don't raise your hand. I tried that. Well, the Scripture is not just some kind of prescription that the pastor writes to you to read to help you with your problem. Scripture is an authoritative truth that we are called to be faithful to. And when we walk by faith and not by sight, and we live by the truth of the Word of God, what happens? There is transformation because it's promised. God will not lie. He is always faithful. So when the Word of God says for us to live and to be a certain way, we do it not because we're looking for a remedy as much as we are called to be faithful. And we wait upon the promise to come to be. Obedience is a lost art. We live in a day of so much pride that to call people to obedience makes them stand up and shake their fist as if we're going to live in a day of submission. We are all individual gods and leaders of our own life. It's dangerous. Because that's what love for God is that we obey His commands and they're not burdensome, as it says in 1 John 5. Do you want to honor God? If the struggle is there, then if we need to go back to the first obvious thing, which is the pride, that needs to be dealt with first, because I guarantee you're not as great as you think you are when you start looking into the Scripture and finding out what the Lord says and reveals to you who you are. But He does have some pretty lofty plans for you and things He wants to use you to do, some pretty awesome things that God is calling you to. And so, therefore, by being faithful to obey that, what takes place? Yes, there's a blessing, but there's the eternal blessing of being called faithful. And I think it says somewhere in the Scripture that when we meet the Lord and we've been faithful, that He acknowledges that. Well done, good and faithful servant. What is your goal? What are you striving for? Let's look at some obvious things within our life and find out where we're not being faithful, where we need to continue. In Hebrews 3, 2 and 5 and 6, and he who was faithful to him, who appointed, just as Moses also was faithful in all of God's house. That's an awesome way to be thought of. Now Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are His house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope You see that holding fast and that call to faithfulness and the reward of the patriarchs because they were seen as being faithful. And if time allowed, we also could talk about Abraham and his faithfulness. When Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him. He was going to be faithful to follow through with God, what God asked him to do. One way to help us stay obedient is to not see ourselves as simply as volunteers in the Lord's work. We see that. We hear that a lot, right? Will you volunteer to help this? And we're volunteers here at the building in the church, right? To help with this ministry and volunteer to help this with this. And well, I think we cut ourselves short there. Because we're not simply volunteering, are we? We're not a bunch of volunteers. We're not an organization that just functions with volunteers. We are a living organism, the body of Christ, who are filled with people who are called to fill positions within the church so the gospel could be carried on. Just because it's not your occupation or the form in which you are paid to live does not mean that you're simply a volunteer. God called you to serve. He's gifted you to serve in His body in a certain way. Your responsibility is to be faithful in where He has called you to serve. Within your calling. Pastors are not the only ones who are called. We're all called. Think of this story here as we move to the end. Mark Hatfield tells of touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa and visiting some so-called house of dying, where sick children are cared for in the last days, and a dispensary where the poor line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. Watching Mother Teresa minister to these people, feeding and nursing those left by others to die, Hatfield was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the suffering she and her co-workers faced daily. How can you bear the load without being crushed by it? He asked. And Mother Teresa replied, "My dear sinner, I am not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful." Norman Geisler, I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he's an incredible theologian of today, probably one of my most favorite. I have a lot of his books in my office and have appreciated his contributions to the Christian faith, his reasonableness in discerning difficult theology. Norman Geisler, as a child, went to a daytime vacation Bible school because he was simply invited by some neighborhood children. He went back to the same church for Sunday school classes for 400 Sundays. And each week he was faithfully picked up by a bus driver. Week after week, he attended church, but never made a commitment to Christ. Finally, during his senior year in high school, after being picked up for church over 400 times, he did commit his life to Christ. Question: what if that bus driver had given up on Geisler at 395 pickups? What if the bus driver had said, "This kid's going nowhere spiritually. Why waste any more time on him?" We are called to be faithful when we often try to do what? We want results. We go to church and we want to serve in a ministry. And we want to see results, right? I want to see a lot of people come and be a part of my ministry. I want to witness some really great things going on. And if great things are happening, I really want to participate in this ministry, but this ministry looks like it's having some really great results, so I want to move over to this ministry if possible, whether or not I'm called or gifted to do so. Anyway, but we get caught up in trying to produce results. And as a result, we neglect faithfulness. Many have done so. Are you discouraged because you don't see the results you'd like to see within the church walls or within the ministry that you serve? Is that the goal? Results oftentimes are related to pride. You got to be careful. Story after story, you're missionaries who go into unchurched areas in the world and for years preach the gospel and teach without a single convert. But they stay faithful until they reach one and then two. And now we have the gospel going throughout the world in areas that were seemingly impossible to reach. I want to confess to you this morning my faithfulness to the Lord. We know that we live in a day when ministers by the droves are leaving the ministry. Many feel undervalued and others are overwhelmed by the responsibility and by critics. It's a difficult day to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as I, for 3 days, sat in that house and prayed and studied the Word of God, and this message came to the forefront as where we need to start, I first want to confess to you, I resolve to be faithful. Be faithful to the call that God has put in my life, in my heart, to preach the gospel, to shepherd His people, to be an overseer, to watch over souls. I confess to you, I'm going to be faithful. Regardless of appreciation, regardless of how many critics come forward, I will remain faithful to our Lord and His calling. Having said that, and we record that so you can play it back if you ever needed to, I want to ask you the same. Will you join me in remaining faithful at all times to our Lord Jesus Christ? That doesn't mean we're going to have failures along the way. We'll all question whether or not we should continue on or stay to it. That's an enemy's job, to discourage our faithfulness. But will you remain faithful? Will you join me as I'm faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ? Will you help me with that? I can't go about it alone. And I'm not looking for any volunteers. I'm looking for those who are called to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Let us leave the results to God, shall we? And let you and I strive to be faithful at all times. I am convinced that in this we will find peace. And in this, we will always be ready for when our Lord returns. And I believe that matters. Wouldn't you say? Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Psalm 55. This morning, as we close, we gather to God as His chosen ones, to commit to Him our faithfulness. And there will be sacrifice. There will be things that we have to give up to be faithful. But I'm pretty compelled to steal the motto from the Marines, Semper Fi, today, and to encourage you to do the same. That we leave here today with our hearts full of resolve, committed to be faithful to God, faithful to stay humble, and faithful to obey until He returns or until we're called home. Bow your heads with me and we're going to pray. We're going to take this commitment to God and we are going to say, Lord, help us to be faithful. We are going to put it on record in heaven that we are committing ourselves to be faithful to God today. When times get tough, we don't go running away because that's what's going to happen. Things are going to get hard now and then. But when we stay faithful to God, and we'll find out next week, faithful to one another, we will overcome no matter what the enemy puts in our way. Ask the Lord right now, to forgive you for anything that you know that you've been unfaithful in your life. Ask Him to forgive you. Lord, forgive me. I know I've not always been faithful in my thoughts. I know I've not always been faithful in my actions. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Because you see, church, what happens is when we ask for forgiveness, He is faithful and just to forgive. Awesome thought. We can now move forward. We're going to forget the things behind. We've not always been faithful. We've not always done what's right. But today is a new day. Today, salvation comes. Today, we seek to be faithful to God. And so I want you to ask God, help me to be faithful. Help me, O God, to be faithful. Now, the next thing I want you to do is to confess that you are going to be faithful. Because we're not just going to leave it there. We're going to pick up faithfulness and we're going to move forward. And so, Lord, we commit to you today our faithfulness to you and to your work. Say that to Him. Today, Lord, we commit to you our faithfulness to you and to your cause. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you that you are faithful. Faithful to your promises so that we're not destroyed. And that you've never given up on us. Even when we become faithless, it's impossible for you to abandon your promises. You will remain faithful. And thank you, Lord, because we're going to need that, because it's going to be a struggle to remain faithful on our part. But Lord, you now have it written in heaven that we are committing ourselves to be faithful to you and to what you ask us. And so, Lord, we know that it's hard, but we know you'll be with us because you promised you'll always be with us. So help us to grow in our faith. May humility be a staple. May obedience be seen by all. And God, may we walk with resolve and with conviction, saying, Semper Fi, always faithful. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.